This is TWiT.
Now, Charter is already trying to abuse the loss of net neutrality regulations, even though those regulations aren't yet gone. Now, remember way back when ISPs super-duper pinky swear promised that they'd be good on their own without any regulations required? And remember when they supported Ajit Pai's rollback of net neutrality regulations because they're already super consumer friendly and all about honesty and fairness? And remember when anti-net neutrality supporters asked what was the worst that could happen if we removed the super bad Obama era protections? Well, I think the only response is, lol. This past Monday, Charter Communications filed for the dismissal of a New York State lawsuit against Charter-owned Time Warner Cable over deceptive practices. Now, the lawsuit filed this past February alleged that TWC deceived the FCC to receive a better internet speed score, which they then used in their advertising to claim 100, 200, and 300 megabits per second service, when in actuality, they knew the network was unable to deliver that. In fact, at most times, it was up to 80% slower than what was paid for. Well, even though the net neutrality regulations haven't yet been repealed, Charter is already trying to use the lack of those regulations to their advantage. In their filing for dismissal, Charter claims that Pai's rollback of net neutrality, which will include a preemption of states' rights to corrective actions over ISPs, means that the state of New York doesn't have the power to hold them accountable for their deceptive practices. This is just the start of ISPs behaving badly, but it is worthy of note. Because if an ISP will so cavalierly pronounce that they're not accountable to their customers, the state attorney general, nor any federal regulations, and the ink isn't even dry on the repeal, how much worse will it get when it becomes law? Now, Lou, I want to throw this over to you before we dive much further into it, because I want to say I'm shocked. I want to say I'm surprised, but this is not the face of shock. This is not the face of surprise. This is the face of, yeah, that totally makes sense. What's your take?
This may contain peanuts, right? I mean, there's like, it's that kind of thing, as they're saying, you know, we should be allowed to do this because we can't guarantee things all the time, everywhere, depending on environment and all this stuff. And, you know, it makes sense. But when you're 80% slower than what you claim there, it's just, you got to shake your head. So I'm not surprised.
Right. We've got JJ to the 484 in the chat room, and he's making an honest effort to give us the other side of the argumentation. And the other side is, as presented by the FCC and Ajit Pai, that the FTC should have this. It's not the FCC's place, and it's not the state's place, but the FTC. Here's the thing. The FTC actually did have authority over these issues for many, many decades before the FCC actually took control. Do you know how many times an ISP was prosecuted? Zero. And now the FTC budget is 30% less than it was before the era of net neutrality. Do you know how many prosecutions there's going to be after? That's right, less than zero. They know that the FTC does not have the manpower to go after ISPs. It's such a low-lying branch for them, a low-lying fish, that it's not even on the radar. Now, here's the other thing. If you go back to the original story that we covered in episode 225, on February 3rd, 2017, you have to remember that Eric Schneiderman, the Attorney General of New York, had filed the lawsuit against Charter and Time Warner, which again is a subsidiary of Charter, on behalf of the claimants within their state, within their district. Now, within the complaint, they were actually very specific on what they were going after. Specifically, they said that Time Warner Cable leased older generation single-channel D1 and D2 cable modems that weren't capable of delivering the speeds promised under contract. Now, consider what that means. It means that not only was the network not capable of delivering the speeds that they were selling, but they were leasing equipment to those customers that they knew weren't even technically feasible of getting those speeds. They also pointed out that TWC concealed the failure of these modems, which could deliver, again, only 20 megabits per second at best, by informing the FCC that all units would be replaced in 2013, which, of course, they weren't. This means that the FCC testing program, and this is the deceptive practices that is currently being brought out by the New York Attorney General, which measures services against their promised speeds, it didn't trip off any red flags, because if Time Warner Cable had replaced, as they said they would, all those modems in 2013, this wouldn't be an issue. But they didn't. They lied in their advertising. They lied in the FCC. And now, essentially what they're saying is, yeah, we lied, but, you know, in a couple of weeks, it probably doesn't matter that we lied. This is the issue I have, Lou, because this is an ISP who is now openly thumbing its nose and saying, what are you going to do about it? You know, the FCC is going to wash their hands of any culpability. They're going to say that they're not responsible for us. The FTC, we know they won't come after us. And by the way, we've preempted state rights, which means nobody can come after us. So, Lou, if the states can't go after them, and if the FCC is removing the responsibility for them, what do we have? What's our fallback?
I mean, if you're stuck in a zone where you don't have any other internet, I mean, you're kind of SOL. I mean, there's nothing else that you can do. But if you're in an area that, hey, I can change my internet, I'm not in a contract, then you have a little bit more power. But I think, you know, as a consumer, there's really not much you can do, unfortunately, until regime change happens and, you know, the thumbing puts a target on their back and, you know, things start to change. But as a consumer, there's, again, unless you're going to hit their pockets, there's really not much you can do.
Right, right. And there's one interesting thing. And the sad thing about this is the FCC should be answering this. Even though Pai wants to absolve himself and his agency of any responsibility over policing ISPs, there is language, even in the current bill, that states will continue to have their power to police these situations. So even the repeal of net neutrality has a little bit of that recognition, that head nod of, oh yeah, by the way, the states are the ones who are going to be experiencing this, so of course we're going to give them the right to approach the remedy. The fact that the FCC isn't pointing that out, and the fact that the FCC didn't correct charter in this filing, means that the FCC is willing to let even that tiny little legal protection fall to the wayside. Again, I mean, I don't know what more to do here. Oh, where do we go from this, Lou? I mean, seriously, I want to open this up because it is, I know it's tiring to talk about net neutrality over and over and over again, but I keep seeming to run into these people who think that nothing bad is going to happen when we already see the bad things that are happening.
So I think there's two things. One thing, you know, I like to call out the fact that the ASA, the Advertising Standards Authority in the UK, is setting regulation on May 23rd next year, saying you can no longer do this as an ISP. You can no longer you have to basically post your average settings, your average speeds, rather than your possible top speeds. So there's no longer, they're regulating that. That's obviously an agency that's regulating that from an advertising perspective. But from our perspective, what can happen, I think the first thing that needs to happen is a business needs to start to instrument their services, and ones that, you know, if things come back like paid lanes and so on, and big companies like Netflix can pay the bills, but small companies cannot, then those companies need to prove out liability and the fact that they're losing money and that they can't compete because of these types of things, and then put large lawsuits of losses against companies like Comcast and Charter. And by doing that, they're now getting open the door to those types of liabilities, because obviously being non-competitive in the United States is a pretty big thing. So I think I'm thinking that that's probably the next course of action here, that companies, once these things start happening again, holding these ISPs liable for losses and or monetary reasoning as a corporation, as a company, even as a small business, is where it's going to go next.
Right. Now, we've got Emily the Strange in the chat room, who asks a very good question. See, honestly wants to know, well, what does this actually have to do with net neutrality? I mean, because you've got one ISP who has been deceptive in their marketing and admin practices, why does that trigger anything within net neutrality? Well, it does, because in addition to bans on blocking, throttling, and paid prioritization, that was the foundation of net neutrality, specifically on the interconnects, not using interconnect agreements to slow down other services that otherwise should move quickly. The net neutrality rules specifically require ISPs to be transparent about their network management practices. Now, this is huge. It's not saying that they cannot practice network management. It says that anything that they do, they have to be open about. If they're going to throttle, they have to explain why they're throttling. And if it is a absolutely valid reason to throttle, then it would be allowed. Remember, the FCC was under Wheeler, was always about the light touch use of net neutrality. In other words, as long as you're providing good service to the customers that you are selling service to, we're not going to ding you. However, what the ISPs want, and this should be really clear in this case, is it's not that they're being harassed legally. They're used to that. It's that they are being asked to disclose what it is they are doing to manage their networks. They don't want to do that because a lot of really bad things happen. In fact, we're seeing it right now. And they're most upset at the fact that the New York AG has exposed something that, well, in any other business would be a fraud. If you are selling a level of service and you know you cannot provide that level of service, you lose your business. I'm kind of hoping the same thing happens here.